thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
So please, can we welcome Mayor Eli Shaviro, Ariel's newest mayor.
Thank you. Thank you. Shalom lekulam. Lekulam, everybody. My English not so good like Avi, but I'm sure that in the next time that we will meet, it will be better. You know, I'm very happy to be here with you today. And all the trip, I go to a lot of people that support us. And in all this trip, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you all. I want to say thank you because you are our friendship. And you support us. And you've done a lot of things for the citizen of Ariel. And I want to say thank you for what we will do together in the future. I know that you come a lot to Ariel. And I want to invite you, all of you, to be our guests in Ariel. I want to say again, thank you very much.
Where's Rod? Is Rod here? Rod, can you join us for a sec? Eli wanted to make sure that he left a memento of the city of Ariel. We were hosted by some of the staff this morning, walking around through the administrative offices. It turns out that there's so many pictures of Ariel on the wall that there isn't any room for another memento. So I'm going to speak to Pastor George and suggest that we expand the offices so that we can have room for what Eli would like to present to you. Rod, this is something, it's a collage of pictures from the city of Ariel, which are specific to the Faith Bible Chapel relationship with us. At the top, there is a picture of Faith Bible Chapel visiting Antenna Hill, which Rod mentioned. Just below, we've got Rod and the internationals singing and dancing for our residents. Over to the side, Pastor George and Cheryl planting their most recent vine in the city of Ariel. By the way, how many people, by a show of hands, have been to Ariel before? Pretty decent percentage. How many of you have planted vines in Ariel? Very similar number for obvious reasons, so that's one of the things that we do. Another picture of the internationals. Down below, Helen Strait, who likes to be so modest and would never let us put her in there, so we did that anyway. Sorry, Helen. And then to the bottom over there, we mentioned the elementary schools, so that's bringing some gifts to the elementary school, both to some of the general student body and also to some special needs classrooms as well. So this is Ellie's token of appreciation.
Thank you so much.
On behalf of our church congregation and Pastor George and Cheryl, thank you very much. And as I mentioned before, that one of the things that we do each year is we help fund the Child Development Center. And so on behalf of Pastor George and Cheryl, and from the members of Faith Bible Chapel and those who've given to that offering at our Night to Honor Israel, I would like to give you our check to one more year fund the Child Development Center in Ariel. You're welcome.
Thank you. I just want to talk a little bit. We talked about a journey. If we could add another layer to that, all of those of you who have been to the city of Ariel, I would like to think that for you, your visit was a growth experience. Something happens there where you grow. And indeed, the vines are symbolic of that. Maybe we could even talk about that for a minute. But I want to talk about the Children's Development Center for just a moment. Personally, my history, I didn't share that with you. Usually after we share a little bit with our friends, people are like, Avi's English doesn't sound like he was born in America. Excuse me, in Israel. I was actually born and raised in a country very close to the United States of America. It's called New Jersey. And of course, that's why I left and made Aliyah and moved to Israel after high school. No offense to New Jersey or to anybody who vacations there over the summers. After I moved to Israel, I also served a little bit in the IDF, and I studied in a Jewish seminary, what's called the yeshiva. And after that, I went on to become an occupational therapist. And indeed, when my wife and I moved to Ariel, I worked as an occupational therapist at the Children's Development Center. And so that's a place that's close to my heart. And what happened was, after I started working with the city and the foundation, there were some changes in the city, and we started moving the Children's Development Center into the university campus. Ariel has an academic institution which has become Israel's newest university. It's called Ariel University. I like that title, by the way. So Ariel University is the newest university in Israel. It's got 15,000 students. There's about 19,000 residents in Ariel. On top of that, 15,000 students at the university. Think about that for a second. That makes Ariel Israel's college town. And with that, seeing that there's a resource potential there, they started moving the Children's Development Center and the therapy sessions that they conduct to the university campus. It's actually only when Mayor Shviro came into office where we've started to take that and grow. Talk about growth. We're growing it more than we possibly could have imagined. And so if previously the Children's Development Center, and many of you have visited there, was a series of rooms in a one-story building, very, very modest, now we're turning it into a university-based health and medical center with a clinics pavilion that provides not only the CDC Children's Development Center care, but will be provide emergency care for the residents of Ariel. Today, by the way, if somebody has a health issue late at night, there's nowhere for them to go. They have to go all the way down to Petah Tikva or Tel Aviv, a minimum of a half-hour drive. Now, this facility is growing, and it's growing in such a way that it will become a full resource, not only for the city of Ariel, but for the entire region as well. There's a lot to say for these little things that we do and how they continue to grow. And when we sow, and when we see the product, the produce, how it goes beyond what we imagine. I want to connect that for a second to the theme of the journey, and maybe we'll watch a quick video for about 2-3 minutes. How many of you have heard the seniors choir from the city of Ariel perform? Okay, not bad. How many of you have heard our young performers, our teens, or even our little children perform? Okay, some of them have been here, by the way. They've been to the church. But we rarely get an opportunity to bring them together. And the seniors choir is a fascinating story, because it's comprised virtually 100% of people ages 65 to 93 who are immigrants to Israel from the former Soviet Union. Those of you who are familiar with the story of Ariel know that when Ariel wanted to grow, they saw the immigration from the former Soviet Union not only as a realization of prophecy, but they saw it as opportunity, not a challenge, but an opportunity. So today, they represent about 50%, just under, I think it's a little more than 40, between 40 and 50% of the city's population. But what's really interesting, if you've ever spoken to a Jew who grew up in communist Russia, you understand that faith wasn't, it's not that faith, belief, or religion were unpopular or that they were not commonplace. They were illegal. There was indoctrination to teach people not to believe, to teach people atheism. And I'm not going to go into some of the stories, but they're really, really pretty scary. So what happens when you take people from that background and you bring them to Israel and you make them part and parcel of a community and you have them singing songs of their heritage, songs in Hebrew, sometimes in Yiddish, things that they were never connected to. Obviously, when you bring them into that sphere, it's a metamorphosis for them. It's very, very powerful. And so with that in mind, I want to share with you Ariel's most recent homemade production, which is something that we just saw, the mayor and I just saw for the first time via YouTube link in Philadelphia. So this is a modest little flash mob in the city of Ariel. Would it be wrong for me not to watch all of the credits? Is it okay? Yes, a lot of partners in that. And it was a lot of fun for the people who did it, although I missed the actual flash mob myself. We're hearing about a lot of fun, and people were coming together in a special way. And when I say in a special way, we had lunch today with Pastor George and Cheryl. Mayor Shaviro was sharing a lot about how building the city to the next level is not just in terms of building. When we speak about growing, he is building new homes, which, as many of you know, is a challenge where we live. But fortunately, we are building, and he's putting more plans for additional homes beyond that, creating new employment opportunities for young families, creating new education opportunities for young families as well. And so the direction of the city is a community direction. There's a vision. The mayor has a vision of a 2,500-person strong volunteer team. That's quite a team of volunteers to work to make the city function all the more smoothly throughout. I want to quickly mention, though, something that I hope is also another point of reference for us. You know, there's a major transition that happens at the end of the five books of Moses before we go into the books of the prophets. Of course, Moses passes away, and he handles over the mantle of leadership to someone new. We all know who that is, right? Joshua. Has anyone here ever been to Joshua's tomb? Few people. Helen? Helen, where's Joshua's tomb located? Right. It's just outside of Ariel. The reason Joshua was buried just outside of Ariel is because Joshua lived in Ariel or on one of the adjacent mountains. We can't say for certain where, but we know that his tribal inheritance was with Ephraim, and that's where Ariel is located, and the biblical name for the town and the city was Chares. The mountain of Ariel was always known for generations as Chares, and so geographically, historically, biblically, we know that this is Joshua's land. It's a land of pioneering. But how do you handle over that leadership? There are a lot of people that were nervous about Joshua's leadership. Remember, Joshua went against the grain. He and Caleb stood up not only to the 10 other spies, but to the masses and said, yes, we can certainly go into the land, for this is what God has said. And that's the sort of leadership that we need today when we have an entire world, what they call an international community, that is trying to come between the connection of the Jewish people and biblical Israel, and the city of Ariel being the capital of Samaria, the capital of one of those regions. So we need strong leadership. And when we look to that strong leadership, we have to encourage them. How was Joshua encouraged? Joshua was encouraged by God himself. Joshua was encouraged by the people. He was encouraged by both. And there was a term that was used. In Hebrew, it's the term chazak ve'ematz. Chazak means strength, be strong. Ve'ematz, and be courageous. Be strong and be courageous. There's a great responsibility ahead of you. And so I hope when we conclude, because I'm on a tight time budget, by the way, I hope when we conclude that each and every one of you will have an opportunity to go over to Mayor Shaviro and say either chazak ve'ematz, or if you can't say the thing, so you can simply say, be strong and be courageous, because that's the sort of leadership that we need now, and that's the sort of friendship that we have with you so that we can be mutually encouraging. I want to share one last thought with you that we shared over lunch, and I think this will fit into the time budget. And if not, they'll just give me the hook and I'll be okay. We want to take those vines that have been planted in places like the Brenda Weigand Memorial Vineyard, and we want to grow them further. We want to grow them to a place that we have never even imagined previously. But again, because of this concept of community and because we're pooling resources and seeing everything that we have, how can we grow that? How can we take it to the next level? How can we take it beyond grapes, and how can we take it even beyond an average wine? There's an R&D, Research and Development Center, at Ariel University. It's the only grape and wine research center in the country, in the state of Israel. And at our R&D center, they're doing a lot of interesting things. One of the things that they're doing and have been doing for some time is helping Israeli wineries make their wines go from good to excellent. That's a good cause, a noble cause. Has anybody here recently drank a bottle of Israeli wine? Okay. We're going to grow that number. And how are we going to grow that number? Because Israeli wines are good at Israelis making wines that are other people's wines. We make Merlot, Cabernet Sauvignon, and all sorts of other stuff that I can't pronounce. But those are wines that we've taken from Europe, and we've learned how to perfect those wines. And we know that our grapes can be exceptional grapes because we're on the hills of Samaria. And those of you who have planted vines in the hills of Samaria know that it is a realization of biblical prophecy. So these are biblical grapes, but what happens if we had the real biblical grapes? What happens if we could find not other people's grapes that were planting in biblical land, but what if we could find the grapes that were used at the time of Scripture? The grapes or the wines that King David and King Solomon drank that were used for libations on the temple altar. So I know people like to, like, I don't know, pull water out of the ground and say this is holy water. There's all kinds of stuff like that. But we have a real R&D center that's finding those wines. It's already found 84 varieties of potential indigenous wines from Israel, and they're starting to give them names, and we're reaching back to Scripture, and we're creating an important story, an important storyline, because every bottle of wine in the world is sold with a storyline. And eventually, we're going to go from one person in the audience who's recently had an Israeli wine to everybody who ever drinks wine, and some of you may not. I'm not a big wine guy myself. But anyone who ever drinks wine, knowing that there's something like Bordeaux wines, and there's Ariel wines, this entire new series and variety of wines. And then we have a situation where instead of being reflective or responsive to a world that may not support us, we come and we offer the world a gift. We offer them something that they're looking for, something they've been waiting for, something that helps them piece together this storyline of biblical times to the modern era, something that brings that whole arc to full circle. And if we can do that, so we can show that Israel, that Judea, Samaria, that the city of Ariel are part and parcel of the rest of the world. There's something to offer. There's a partnership. There's a give and take. So those are some of our ideas on how we take some vineyards, some vines, and we grow them. We grow them into something much bigger. We grow them into a story that's big enough for the rest of the world to share with us. That's a little bit about us. Again, I want to encourage everyone to go over to Meir Shaviro, say Chazak ve'ematz, Chazak ve'ematz, you could also say, or just simply be strong and be courageous. Thank you very much.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.